Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at First Baptist. Tonight's speaker is Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
Tonight we continue on our journey through the core 52 verses identified by author Mark Moore to help us cultivate a biblical worldview. And tonight we talk about an issue of great importance in the Christian faith. In fact, this issue is foundational to the faith once for all delivered to the saints, and it has to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our core 52 verse for the evening, which is also our theme for the message, is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he says this, "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain." Let me read that to us one more time. "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain." There were people at this time who were saying that Jesus had not bodily resurrected from the dead, that his resurrection was a spiritual occurrence, but his body stayed in the tomb, or that his resurrection was not an occurrence at all, that his body stayed in the tomb, that it was some story that was made up by the disciples. And in fact, 2,000 years later, there are still people who say Jesus did not bodily resurrect from the grave. And the problem with that is this: our entire faith system is built upon the premise that the Son of God, who lived a life without sin, died on an old rugged cross in our place to pay the price for our sin, was buried in the tomb, and then 3 days later arose from the grave. And the point that the Apostle Paul is making here is that if Jesus didn't really rise from the grave, then everything regarding Christianity is useless. We have become a community organization that occasionally does some nice things for some disadvantaged people. Other than that, it's pointless. And he's going to make his case in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is a titanic chapter in the entire Bible. And when we think about the world that is to come, when we think about the events that are coming for those of us who trust and follow Jesus, this is a huge chapter for us to understand. I want us to look tonight at just a portion of that chapter as we think about the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I want us first to look at verses 12 through 19 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll see what the Apostle Paul has to say as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit. Paul writes, "Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied." Let me read verse 19 one more time, because that's how important this is. "If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied." So given what the Apostle Paul has just written, I want to give us this first point tonight, and that is this: if Christ has not been raised from the dead, your faith means nothing, and you are pitiful. If Christ has not been physically raised from the dead, then your faith means nothing, and you are pitiful. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, then the whole point of the Christian faith is to be a good boy or a good girl on this earth. And while there's value in being a good boy or a good girl, there's so much more to the Christian message than simply that. Now, if Christ hasn't been raised, then this is pointless. If Christ hasn't been raised, there's no hope that anchors our soul. If Christ hasn't been raised, there's no transcendent hope that causes us to look ahead to the great glory that will be revealed. If Christ has not been raised, then guess what? We won't be raised either. So if Christ has not been raised, then we are all wasting our time. If Jesus did not bodily resurrect from the grave, you are wasting your time right now by being a part of this service. If Jesus did not bodily resurrect from the grave, you are wasting your time on Sunday mornings by participating in a worship service. If Jesus did not rise again from the grave, the entire Christian message is undercut. You are still in your sins, and you are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, the Bible teaches that Jesus was raised from the dead, and we have hope. Let's look at what the Apostle Paul says, beginning with verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. Our second point. If Christ has been raised from the dead, your faith means everything, and you are hopeful. If Christ has been raised from the dead, your faith means everything, and you are hopeful. I will never forget, back in 2004, my grandmother had lived for 85 years, and she did not always have an easy journey. And in July of 2004, we found ourselves there in the hospital with her as her life on this earth was drawing to a close. And my dad was with me, and he had lost his own dad several years previous. And he had lost so many people in his life, and we knew it was coming. It was not a surprise. But even when you know it's coming, and even when it's not a surprise, that moment when it comes, that moment when your loved one takes their last breath on this earth is jarring, shocking, so difficult. And so I remember we were there in the hospital, and they came and did all the things that they had to do, and we finished all of our obligations, and we walked out, and we were standing out in front of the hospital in a carport area. And both of us, neither of us men who like to cry in front of other people, were crying in front of each other. And we came to this conclusion. Either the Christian faith is real or it's not. Either the message of the gospel is real or it's not. And if it's not real, then we're just fooling ourselves, and religion really is the opiate of the masses. But if it is real, then it's not just an important thing in our lives. Because they've done studies and they found that 10 out of 10 people will die. If Jesus doesn't return, every single one of us will come to the end of our life on this earth. If the message of the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ and of forgiveness of sin and eternal life in Christ is true, then it's not just an important thing, it's everything. Because in that moment, you either have hope or you don't. And the Bible says, for those of us who trust and follow Jesus, though in that moment we grieve, we do not grieve as those who have no hope, for we are gripped by an eternal reality that transcends even death. So to close our message tonight, I just want to share with you some scripture, not with a whole lot of commentary, but what does the Bible say happens when our life on this earth comes to an end? First, If you are in Christ, that means you have repented of your sin and received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You have said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, but I believe you're the Savior. Come into my life, forgive me of my sin. I surrender to you as my personal Lord and Savior. If you are in Christ, at the moment of your death, your spirit will go immediately to the presence of God. In Luke chapter 23, verse 43, it's the account of Jesus on the cross, and there are two thieves beside him. One of the thieves derides him, and the other thief looks at him and says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And what does Jesus say? He says, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Meaning that when your life on this earth comes to an end, we will welcome your spirit into glory. Today you will be with me in paradise. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth that we are of good courage and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So to be away from the body is to be at home with the Lord. And in Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, the Apostle Paul, who had just said to live is Christ and to die is gain, has said, "My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better." And then in Hebrews 12, 23, the writer of Hebrews talks about the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, thinking about all those who have gone before us into glory, who by faith in Jesus Christ have received the reward for their faith, the reward for Christ's finished work on the cross and through the resurrection. They have gone home to be with the Lord. So if you are in Christ at the moment of your death, your spirit will go immediately into the presence of your Savior. What an amazing hope for us personally, but also what an amazing hope for our loved ones who leave this earth before us, so that we can know that if they are in Christ, they go immediately into the presence of Almighty God. And then what happens when Christ returns? Well, when Christ returns, the spirits of those who have died in Christ will be joined with their bodies, which will be raised from the grave and made into resurrection bodies like that of Christ. So that Christ, who is the first fruits, the first to be raised from the dead, would be the pattern after which all of us who trust and follow Jesus will be raised from the dead. Just as Jesus has a physical resurrection body that can be touched and felt, so also will we have a physical resurrection body that can be touched and felt. You say, what's it going to be like? I don't know. We have some hints in Scripture. We know that Thomas was able to touch him, to feel him. We know that he ate food. He ate broiled fish in front of them, and ghosts don't eat fish or anything else for that matter. But he was also able to enter rooms through locked doors. So the physics must be different, but we know that he has a physical resurrection body, and so will we have physical resurrection bodies. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 14 through 18. "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." And so you can hear kind of what's going to happen. When Christ returns, the spirits of those who have gone before us will return with him. They will be raised imperishable, and then we all will be caught up in the air with the Lord to be the second coming of Christ. It will be unbelievable, the glory that is revealed in us, the glory that we will experience. And the Lord Jesus is coming to gather his church to himself and to judge the world. And so there will be a great judgment. And after the judgment, followers of Christ will enter into the full enjoyment of life in the presence of God forever in new heavens and a new earth. So our eternal state with our Lord Jesus Christ is much more physical, much more tangible than you might think that it is. There will be a new earth. We will have resurrection bodies that cannot be touched by sin or disease or illness or death. It will be glorious. In fact, the Bible says that the glory that will be revealed in us is so deeply profound that it far surpasses any suffering we've ever had to endure. In Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 25, the Apostle Paul writes this as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." What is Paul saying? He's saying essentially that this world is hard. I don't know, maybe you have found in your life that this world can be difficult. Maybe you're finding that right now. Maybe you're in a difficult season of life, a season that's more difficult than others. Our entire world has collectively been in a difficult season for some time now. We have hope in Jesus Christ. Hope that transcends our moment. Hope that transcends our world. Hope that transcends our suffering. Hope that compels us to look ahead to what will be. Hope that is an anchor for our souls, firm and secure. And it all hinges upon the truth that our Lord Jesus, who died on the cross for us, rose again from the grave. If Christ has not been raised, then we are all wasting our time. We need to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But if Christ has been raised, then that means not something important. It means everything to us. It means that we live differently here because we know that we will live forever with our Lord. Just as He is raised, so also will we be raised. And so we live our lives in light of eternity, knowing that while we suffer here, our suffering is not forever, and there is a glory that is coming for us that so far surpasses any suffering we have ever had to endure or will have to endure. God's got a hold of us in Jesus Christ, and He's not going to let us go. No, He's going to raise us to life, and we will dwell with Him forever. I don't know about you, but that gives me hope today. Would you pray with me? Father, we love You, and we're so thankful for the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're thankful that Jesus died on the cross, and we are thankful that Jesus has been bodily raised from the dead. And just as Christ has been raised from the dead, so also will all of us who trust and follow Jesus be raised from the dead. Lord, if there's anyone who's a part of this service who has yet to give their lives to You, may tonight be the night when they say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, but I believe You're the Savior. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I trust You. I receive You, and I will follow You." Lord, for all of us who are in Christ, remind us of the hope that is ours in Christ, and let that hope anchor our souls through turbulent days. Lord, give us strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow through the truth that Christ is risen from the dead, and so also will all be who trust and follow Jesus. Lord, before we bring our service to a close once again, we want to join our voices and our hearts and our minds together to pray that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. And in so doing, we will answer the question, "Whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.